Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to our service this morning. Unfortunately, we're unable to offer you tea and coffee this morning. You may have noticed on the way in that the large hall is being repainted and we're not allowed access to the large hall. So just for 1 week only, I hope, there'll be no tea and coffee. And also, for this holiday club, the children will be in the Jubilee Hall this morning. If you could leave via this door here, we'll take you up to the Jubilee Hall. And parents collecting as well, could you please use that door and come back through this door at the end of the service. The evening services start again tonight, and we're delighted they'll be led by Stephen Toms this evening. So if you can attend, please come along. And if you're interested, the manse at 8 Buchanan Street is now on the market with Retty and Co. I have an edict to read, and fortunately I only have to read this one Sunday. It's regarding the roll. Confirmation of electoral register. Notice is hereby given that the proposed electoral register of this congregation of St Paul's, linked with Balderknock, has now been prepared. If you believe that your name should be on the register, you can ask for confirmation that it has been included immediately after this service, or from me, session clerk, later. If your name is not on the proposed electoral register, and you believe it should be, you should inform the session clerk in writing before the Kirk session meets to finalise the register on Wednesday, 6th September. You're also welcome to attend that meeting if you wish to make a case for your name being included. Grim though, session clerk. Thank you.
Good morning. Lord, be with each one of us this day. Feed our hearts and souls as we come to worship this morning. Restore us. We praise God in our first hymn, the hymn number 600, Sing to God New Songs of Worship. Come before God in prayer, let us pray. Gracious God, creator of all that we perceive, we join today in the abundance of your love, in the joy that comes through that love. through Jesus, our shepherd and our guide, the one who feeds us in mind and in body, and through the sustenance of the Spirit, and the knowledge that you are with us. As we come to worship this morning, strengthen us today in faith and hope. We pray for the steadfastness to follow you in the challenging times that we live in. Merciful God, forgive us in your abundant compassion, love and grace. Though we each strive to live up to your commands, we often fail. So renew us with the reassurance that through every time of trial, through every time we fail, you hold us in the palm of your hand, supporting, strengthening, and loving always. Loving God, hear this, our prayer. Guide us today and every day as we seek to do your will in this ever-changing world. Open our eyes to the great variety of blessings and opportunities that you have poured out on us. And hear us now as we come together in prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever. Amen. Good morning. How are you all? School holidays are just about over, aren't they? How many more days have we got?
Not enough.
That's a good answer, not enough. A week and 2 days, so that's 7 more school day holidays. Well, there's lots to be done in that time, isn't there? It's a great time. And you know, it's an exciting time to go back to school because, you know, everybody's moving on to something different. If you were in primary one last year, you'll be in primary two this year and so forth up the school. And if you were in primary seven last year, well, you're off to a new school with all the excitement that that brings and the challenges of finding where you should be. But, you know, you get dead used to it, no problem. And you'll be just at home within a couple of weeks. How are the sunflowers doing? Have they anybody measured? Oh, wait till you see this then. Yours is only that height. Let's see if I can find the picture that I took this morning. Oh, see this camera, I'm not very good with it. I might need to seek technical help. All I seem to have is a picture of the ground. Well, what do you think of that?
Wow.
And I'm going to impress you now because it is 6 feet 6
wow.
inches. And I even converted it into metric because I still work in feet and inches. And I believe that is 1.981 metres. So, it's taller than me and it's got 3 heads on it. So that is absolutely beautiful. They're not huge, but we did plant Titan, didn't we? Don't know what happens to yours at that. Not enough sun. That's a big problem, even all with all my moving around in the garden, even with it all. The fact is we haven't just had enough sun. But they're actually following the sun now, which is quite nice. Well, that wasn't what I really wanted to talk to you about this morning. That was just me just getting back to knowing what's going on. This week I did something very special. I looked after 2 spaniels. very naughty spaniels. Their owner had gone off to Turkey to get some sun and had said, would I look after them? So I did. The first morning, they dragged me to the park. The second morning, they understood that we do not drag me to the park. Just needed a couple of good jolts on the lead, and we got on. And after that, we got on famously. And the only thing they didn't like is when I roared at them. I'm so used to big dogs that I forget that little dogs maybe don't like to be roared at. One of them ran away, sat down. All I said to him was, enough! And he just looked at me and turned tail and went. So it was a very nice thing to do because I don't have a dog now. And so it was great to be able to walk to the park every morning. And as I was walking past this particular house, I noticed that they'd been hanging things on trees. This great big tree in their front garden. And it had lots of lovely things. It had things that went like that with the wind. You know, these things that can do that. And there was lots of different other things on it. And every morning I stopped and had a wee look just to see what was on it. And one of the things I found were hearts. Lovely heart-shaped. Now, I have no idea why the people that live in this house have done all this, but I'm sure going to find out because the house is only two doors along from the spaniel's house, so I'm going to set the spaniel's owner to find out why this tree is like that. Didn't feel I could knock on the door and say, excuse me, why have you got hearts hanging on your tree? But anyway, I will find out and I'll keep you posted on the answer. But it made me think about love and about the fact that Jesus loves us all very much. And later today in our service in church, we will be reading about that love, how it was shown when Jesus fed 5,000 people. And I think I told you that story, didn't I? I read it from a book, which was different. So, you know the story is that all the people loved Jesus and they followed him. And they would not let him, I suppose, have any peace because they just were so engaged with him that they wanted to always be with him. And he loved them so much in compassion that he was able to feed them with the five loaves and the two fish, the wrong way round. So I was thinking about these hearts and I thought, would you like to make a heart this morning? Now, I've got a cupboards and cupboards of stuff that I have and I found some of this stuff. Have you ever used this? It's lovely foamy stuff and it's really great. So I only thing, I couldn't find any red for red hearts. But I thought, what about green hearts? Because green hearts would be great. That would show that we were really very green and we were caring about the environment. And the only other colours I've got are yellow and purple. So I thought you might like to have a wee shot at that this morning. So this looks a bit like the hearts that were hanging on that tree. So I thought you could maybe make a heart. If you've got a tree, why don't you hang it on the outside? If you've not got a tree, why don't you hang it up in your bedroom? On the wall, on a picture or something. So you can put anything on your heart that you would like. But the things that I put on mine on the front was, Jesus' love is very wonderful. And we know that is because it is constant. And then on the back I was thinking, what else can I put? So I put, Jesus loves me and everybody here this morning. So do you want to have a wee try at that? Very nice stuff to work on. So I've put everything in a little folder for you. Tape, ribbon, all sorts. I think there's probably enough to make a couple each, so if you've got a tree, you could have two on it. So that's your challenge for this morning, is, I'll give it to you, there we go. That is to make a very nice heart, or a couple of hearts, and take them home and hang them up. And they'll remind you each day as you see them, and maybe as you see it blowing in the wind, if you put it on a tree, you'll remind yourself that Jesus is with us, and that we follow him. And our hymn this morning is the hymn number 302. I want to walk with Jesus Christ all the days I live of this life on earth. So let's enjoy singing together.
Friends, can we remain seated as we sing our prayer for understanding, which is Mission Praise 115, Do Not Be Afraid. Friends, our reading this morning is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. It can be found on page 981 in the Pew Bibles. The passage is headed, Jesus Feeds the 5,000. Although when we get to verse 21, we will see that Matthew notes that 5,000 was simply the number of the men, and the women and children were in addition to that number. So in the end, somewhat more than 5,000. When the passage opens, Jesus and the disciples are in Galilee. The first words are, when Jesus heard what had happened. And that refers to his just having been told about the beheading of John the Baptist. And so, reading from verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And may God add his blessing to the reading and preaching of the word. And friends, can we now stand to sing our next hymn, which is Mission Praise 37, "As the Deer Pants for the Water."
Let us pray. Gracious God, open our minds to the word and our hearts to your love. Amen. The account of the feeding of the 5,000 that we heard this morning is Matthew's account. It is one of the first miracles that Jesus performed, and it's the only one that is recorded by all the gospel writers. And although there are minor differences in the telling from gospel to gospel, they are all broadly similar on detail. This is one of those Bible stories the ones that we were told in Sunday school. The ones that even those who never pass through the door of a church building know. Saying that, there is a danger in these passages. A danger that familiarity can lead to complacency. A danger that we read it and we think, very good, and get on with our days without really considering its meaning, in particular what it says about Jesus' character, and then what we might learn that means for us in our attempts to follow him. This morning, let's consider the broader picture we are presented with. Jesus is tired. The disciples are tired. The crowd is tired. It has been a long day. Jesus had probably hoped to go away to a lonely place, to a quiet place, to mourn, to pray, and to reflect on the brutal death of John the Baptist and all that that meant. But the sun was shining down, the dirt was underfoot, and even past sore feet and even sore backs. But the crowds still follow him. Evening comes, and the people are probably grumpy and hungry. The disciples are more likely ready to go home, and maybe even Jesus is ready for home. Nevertheless, in the abundance of love which he has for all, Jesus looks out at that crowd of people, a crowd of all ages, all classes, all backgrounds. And in verse 14 of our reading for today, he said he had compassion for them and cured their sick. Jesus saw their hunger, and with what little he had or could source, he fed them. In this moment and this story, we are shown a foretaste, an example of the abundance of God and reality of the coming kingdom, where generosity and love abound, even in the barren places, even in the times when people are at their lowest, even when people are at the most grumpy or desperate. God never turns away. Jesus opened his arms and he fed the people. Even though he may have been tempted to send them away to take time for his own grief and pain. But Jesus' first instinct is to care, to love, and to tend to the people. First, in all things, Jesus remains steadfast. And second, to truly follow Jesus, we need to find a way to emulate that same compassion, love, and care for all those around us, even when they feel most difficult. And so evening came, and they are in that remote place, and it's time to go home. But the people wanted more, and they are hungry. Naturally, the disciples come to Jesus and tell them to send the people home so that they can go out into the neighbouring villages and towns and buy something to eat for themselves. Here the disciples were not showing kindness or compassion. But Jesus has something else in mind and replies, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." The disciples tell Jesus that they have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And these loaves and fish fed everyone that was there that day. more than 5,000. Over the years, there have been several theories about how the people were fed. Some would say that once the bread and fish were brought to Jesus, everyone else brought out the food that they had with them for that day. In that time and in that terrain, I have no doubt that people were prepared when they went out for the day. And some say that Jewish mothers would never have let their men and children go without food for a day. I think this stretches the imagination somewhat and diminishes all that had been happening at that time. The healing of many, the miracles of Jesus. I believe that in performing this miracle, Jesus was trying to visibly teach two things. Firstly, Jesus was trying to teach the disciples that nothing is impossible with faith. He was trying to tell them that God can do anything through them. God can do great and mighty things. God can heal the sick, can make the lame walk, make the blind see, the deaf hear, and the muted talk. God can even provide something simple, like food, to feed the 5,000. Secondly, Jesus was trying to teach the people about giving and receiving. Give what little you can. Don't just keep taking for yourself. Give to others. Share with others what you have, and it will become a blessing. This teaching was not only for the people of first century Galilee. It is for us today. The teaching that nothing is impossible with faith, and the teaching about giving and receiving. Two fundamental elements of Christianity. But there has to be a beginning, and the first step is up to us. Jesus wouldn't have the fish and the bread if it had not first been given up. And we must be willing to give of ourselves to share with others. In the world of 2023, it's rather a strange place. The world is definitely a global village. We read and see everything that is happening, some for the good and some for the bad. It is a world which can focus very much on self. We see it in the workplace. We see it in the politics of our own country and the governments around the world. We see it in our own communities. The I factor, I call it. I see the I factor in the constant need of people taking selfies of themselves. We used to take pictures of one another. Now you simply take the picture of yourself. The need to tell everyone what you have been doing that day, whether it be on Facebook or many of the other social media platforms that we have. Now, I am not saying that that is all bad. It isn't. And it has great advantages in terms of communication. But there is a big but. It still seems to me to be a little self-centred. Jesus, on the day of the feeding of the 5,000, by his example, gave us two very clear teachings. One, nothing is impossible when you have faith. God can do anything through us. And secondly, a way of life about giving and receiving. When we give to others, when we share with others, not only material things, but of our time and our talents, it becomes a great blessing. In the first century, the people followed a man who taught in such a very different way from any of the other leaders at that time. And it was the following of the people that gave Jesus the opportunity to perform his miracles, to demonstrate who he was and what he expected of those who would be his followers. All glory be to him. Amen. We continue our worship now in the morning anthem, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." God for his praise in music. We pray now for our world. Let us pray. Loving God, we come now in thanksgiving for all your goodness to us, for our homes and our families, for the freedom to worship you. We come searching and seeking, doubting and hoping, trying to follow you, to understand you, to know you. As we gather, we bring before you our world, a fragile world, a confusing world, a world in great need. We pray for that world which continues to be ravished by disease and war, while still struggling with the age-old problems of poverty, isolation, and fear. In particular, we pray for all who know the pain of hunger, who fear for what tomorrow brings, who go without to help others. Help us to remember, even on his most difficult days, Jesus gave all he had to nourish others. And give us the boldness to follow his example in whatever way we can. We pray for our country and all those who call it home, especially those who have been forced to come here through violence, strife, economic hardship, or for some other reason. Help us to be a neighbour to all, to see the humanity of our sisters and brothers before we see labels, nationalities, skin colour, sexuality, or gender. We pray for your church all over the world and here at home, as we continue to discern its place in this world, as we continue to seek to do your will in this challenging time for this and all churches. Help all of us who try to work and to decide the path forward, based on the good of your people, the furthering of your mission, and the coming of your kingdom. Living God, we pray now for ourselves, all gathered here this day. We ask for your blessing upon us. Gracious God, hear these our prayers, spoken in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. We bring our time of fellowship and worship to a close this morning as we sing the hymn number 173. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion City, of our God. God's gracious care and protection, I commit you. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with those whom you love this day and forevermore.